Good morning.
Good morning.
When we've done the countdown, that little sign was up there flashing different things on there. It reminded me of last week, Chris and I were taking some stuff down to our store for a donation, and we passed a little church on the way, and they had one of those signs out there, and it says, "Sign broken. Come inside for the message."
Yeah!
So that was kind of cool. So, but if you get your bulletins out, and I need to go back and get one because I forgot to get mine. But anyway, the bulletins, I got that part. There you go. Thank you. If you notice on the front of it, it's a picture of Martin Luther King. Now, how many of you remember the 60s? Where were the rest of you? Of course, then there's that old saying, if you remember the 60s, you weren't in the 60s. Yeah. I never did get that one when I was younger, but I do now. But anyway, on the front, there's a picture of Martin Luther King, and this is Black Awareness Month. And one of what I thought about this morning, and I had a whole different topic I was going to go off on and talk about today, but it got changed.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
And so anyway, Martin Luther King is here, and what is Martin Luther King famous for?
I have a dream.
I have a dream. How many of you ever had a dream? Was it a good one?
Yes.
Yeah. I told Scott what I was talking about. He says, you need to tell him about that dream you had. I had a dream one night. I was at my house, the trailer over there. And in this dream, I was falling off a cliff. And so I jumped to grab this other rock. And I get kind of violent in my dreams. I've kicked a wall, hit a wall, thrown myself out of bed several times. And this time again, I threw myself out of bed, lit on the floor, hurt my shoulder, hooked the plant, flipped it off, and lit upside down on my face, and had a mouthful of dirt from screaming. And, you know, so that's not the kind of dream you want to have, you know, because spend the next half hour spitting dirt out, you know. But, you know, you get into those dreams, and they can be very vivid. And so what I want to talk to you about God's dreams, because we've been talking about how God talks to you and so on. And so one of the methods that God uses is dreams. And the first one here is in Genesis 28, 12 through 17. And it's talking about Jacob. Jacob was the one of Isaac's sons. He had twins. He was the younger of the two. And he was traveling one time, and he lay down and went to sleep in a certain spot. And it said he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have once done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from the sleep. He thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. I was not aware of it. Here God's talking to him through a dream, and he told him a couple of things there, didn't he? You know, I'm going to bring you back from the north, south, east, and west. So, in other words, he's saying, you're going to get scattered. He says, I'll bring you back into this land. He was telling him, you're going to leave for a while, but I'm going to bring you back. And then Jacob realized something. What's the closing part there? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How many times are we in places and situations, and the Lord is right there? Because like it or not, you can't get away from the Lord.
Amen.
You know? But we're not aware of it. We get distracted by other stuff. We get distracted by different things. Okay? And so here's Jacob. He's having this dream. And who's Jacob the father of? Of the 12 tribes, right? One of which is Joseph. Well, Joseph was called the dreamer. And in one of his dreams, in Genesis 37:5, it says, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Now, be aware of one thing. If God gives you a dream, not everybody's going to really enjoy it and get on board. There are going to be those people who just love squishing it. John Maxwell calls it those people that are there, and dreams are like delicate little bubbles floating in the air. And those people that are there going, blowing them towards the cliffs. So they'll break. And there'll be people, when you have a dream, there'll be people that try to squash it. And most likely, they're going to be the people closest to you. Because they're the ones that know you best. And they're the ones that are going to say, you've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. My older brother was my height, maybe a little shorter, small, about 130 pounds when he was in high school. He played football, basketball, baseball, or softball, baseball, wrestling, and track. Now, to look at him, you wouldn't think he could do all that, but he did. I was exactly the same build as he was. I couldn't do any of it. I couldn't even type well. In fact, my type teacher says, isn't Lamar your brother? Yeah, well, he could type. It's like,
yeah. It's not genetic.
Yeah. And so, you know, family members can be a big distraction for you. But then also Solomon in King Solomon in 1 Kings 3:5 said, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said to him, ask whatever you want me to give you. Ask whatever you want. Solomon was faithful. And so in a dream, God said, hey, ask. What does Scripture tell us? Ask and you will receive. You have not because you
ask not.
Okay. And sometimes you don't get it because what? You ask with the wrong motive. You ask with the wrong motive. But he said, ask. Ask. And he told him that in a dream. And you go through Scripture and you can find various people that had dreams, okay? And the different dreams were interpreted that went along there. But you got to be aware of a few things about dreams, okay, that God gives you. If God gives you a dream, Ecclesiastes 5:7, much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. A lot of the dreams that we have at night are because we had a pizza or a little gas, you know. That dream that I had where I jumped off the out of the way of the over there, threw myself out of bed, it wasn't a God-given dream, okay? So much dreaming. But also what that's saying is a lot of people, have you ever noticed people that sit around and they just daydream? They just daydream. I worked with a guy, and he was doing some stuff, and I said, how come you're having such trouble with this? He says, I daydream too much. I just daydream too much. And the problem is, when you do that, it's not accomplishing anything. How many of you have vivid imaginations? Oh, honey, welcome to the good for you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Now, because I can be driving down the street, and I can see something, and all of a sudden, I'm off on this tangent. You know, and it's like, where did that come from? I was driving down the freeway one day, the freeway, I-15, out by Bountiful. And I thought about going in a ditch. And pretty soon in my mind, I'm in the ditch and the door's closed. I can't get out. The water's coming up high. And it's like, wait a minute. I was going into a panic attack. There's not even a ditch around here. It's like, you know. So what God's saying is we can spend a lot of time daydreaming. You know, you spend a lot of daydreaming, but what good does it do you? And in Deuteronomy 13, 2 and 3, and God says, and he's talking about false prophets here. And he says, let us follow other gods. If this false prophet has a dream, okay, and if he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us go worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. In other words, Don't listen to it. Just because it's a dream, it can, you know, it can be out there. Compare it to God's word. If they're trying to lead you off in some wild area, don't bet on it. Okay? If you're a sex addict and you feel like you have a dream and a calling to go work with prostitutes, think about that one again. Okay? Or if you're an alcoholic and you feel like you have a bar ministry, not a good idea. Okay? But then also, there's 2 Corinthians 11:14, and it says, "No wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." So what it's telling us is, you know, God's going to give us a dream. We can't just sit around daydreaming, but then we've got to put it into action. You can't just sit around daydreaming. If God gives you the dream, do something about it. Okay? Do something about it. Now, don't be like me. I've told you before, it took me 30 years to get here because I was dragging that foot, you know, both legs actually, God dragging me along. I'm, you know, you've seen those ones where you see the scratch marks on the floor. That was me. Okay. He's kicking and screaming all the way. But it's saying if God gives you the dream, act on it.
Amen.
Okay. But when you get the dream, make sure that it's from God because Satan can pose as an angel of light. Now back, I mentioned the 60s a little bit ago. Back in that time, I worked at Woolworths. I was a stock boy. I was 19. And one of my jobs was to take the money from the store to the bank up through the parking lot. Now, I think about it now. It's like, what was Salzetti thinking? Because sometimes I had $20,000 or $30,000 in cash in a paper bag through the parking lot. But yeah. But think about it. On the other hand, who'd be looking at an 18-year-old skinny little 126-pounder going, yeah, he's carrying $30,000. You know? But I would, you know, they had me take the money up to the bank. Well, the other guy that worked there, his mother worked up at the bank. And at that time, there was a series of counterfeit, there was some counterfeit money going around. And one day I went up there, took it up to the bank, handed it to her, and she pulls it out like this. And she goes, oh, you got some counterfeit in there. And it's like, how do you know there's counterfeit in there? I looked at it, and I was like, I don't see anything. And she picked it out just that fast. How could she tell the counterfeit from the real? What do you do to be able to identify counterfeit money? What do you study?
You know what to look for.
The real deal.
What?
Study the real money.
Yeah, you study real money. She counts money all day long. All day long she's counting money. The counterfeit comes through and it's like the color is just a little bit off. I didn't think about it at the time, but she took it, she put it up, you know how they fan out cards? She took the money, she fans them out like this, and she goes, which ones are the fake ones? And I went, oh, that one and that one. She goes, yep, that's them. When you compare them to the real, it's easy. And, you know, because she asked me the question, how would you do that? And I said, well, probably by studying a counterfeit. She goes, no. If you do that, you can't see it. You've got to study the real. You've got to look at the real. So you want to know something's from God, guess what you do? Study the real. Find out what it says. So that when you get it, you go, yeah, this doesn't fit right. It doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't fit. And it seems to contradict what I've read. So that's what that scripture is saying. Satan's going to come to you as an angel of darkness, of angel of light, posing as the light. And it says, know the difference. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're having a prompting that tells you that you should probably go kill yourself, is it from God?
Never.
Nope.
Not even close. Okay? But you study the real. To get that way. Okay? God gives us dreams. Martin Luther King had a dream. That was his famous talk of the 60s. I have a dream. Okay? And when he started out the talk that day, it was completely different because he had written a whole different talk. And he started out giving that talk, and you know what? It was going nowhere. And so what did he do? He went back to his I Have a Dream talk. He'd given it hundreds of times before that day. But it was on national television and big broadcasts, all, you know, got news. But he went back to that same thing, I Have a Dream. Because that's what God put in there.
Amen.
Go back to the same dream, the same thing. Because God's going to tell you, okay, in Matthew 2, 13 and 14. When they had gone, this is talking about the wise men who came looking for the baby Jesus. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. When God gives you the dream, you have to do it. Now, how obedient was Joseph? He got up during the middle of the night and said, come on, kids, we're leaving. Didn't wait till morning to clean the house and pack a lunch, all that stuff. He got up and left. And that's what we need to do. When God gives you a dream and a mission, then that's what you do. Now, I was talking about the building here a while back. And I mentioned downstairs that, you know, over in that back corner, from those of you who don't know it, in that back corner over there, there used to be an apartment. And it was the bedroom. And it kind of got turned into a storage area for junk. And somebody nicknamed it the dead body room. They said, I don't like going in there. I feel like there's dead bodies in there. And it's like, okay. So we started calling it the dead body room. Well, I says, you know, I really want to take and change that room and make it into a classroom. I was talking to Chris, and he grabbed onto that. And the next thing you know, we're gutting out the bathroom in the back there that was really gross. And we got it all cleaned out, and we're working on the room now, and it's almost getting there. And pretty soon it's going to be another Sunday school class that can be used for we got the little kids over on the one side, and we have the little older kids over on the other side, and Kelly's over there. And, you know, we can have all kinds of stuff. And we can use it for a prayer room because, you know, we have communion up here, and sometimes we take 20 minutes in communion with the prayers and so on. Well, there's another time, you know, Brandy has a prayer group that meets together at 10:15 downstairs, and so we can have a prayer group down there after service if you need special prayers. We can have people down there. You can go down that room and be prayed over for hours. Amen. And, you know, whatever you need to have done. But, you know, we can do that. But I mentioned it. Chris grabbed a hold of it because he wanted to start spending more time down here. And he has been.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, lost his job. So now he's got lots of time down here. You know? But it was Tuesday night we were here. And Diane came over, and she was helping Chris cut lumber and all kinds of fun stuff, and it was a good time. So you get a dream, and you move on it, and you start doing stuff with it, okay? In Genesis 1, 28 and 27, it gives you a glimpse of God's dream. Now, do you ever think that God has a dream?
Yes.
Yeah. In Genesis, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So we're both created in the image of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So God created us in the image of God. And what was God's dream?
He wanted us to rule over the earth.
That we multiply and replenish and cover the earth with the image of God.
Amen.
You are God's dream.
Thank you, Lord.
You are God's dream. And you're created in the image of God. Now, one of the things that cropped up in my mind as I was thinking about this was that a lot of times we have to be careful because we look at the scriptures and it says, Jesus died for you. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus here. And what happens is it's really easy to get the subject, the object of the talk switched. Jesus died for me. I become important. I can become the important one. It's all about, it can become all about me. My wants, my needs, my desires, God's a vending machine. I put in my quarter prayer, out comes the answer, and so on. And we can get into that thing, and we can't do that. God created us in his image. We're not created in God. I mean, we are created in God's image. God's not created in ours.
Amen.
Okay? And so we are there. God's the Almighty. And we can't get that backwards, no matter what we do. Because God is the one. God is the one that deserves the glory, the honor, the praise. And God even tells us that. Okay? In Isaiah 42, 8, I am the Lord. That's my name. And I will not give my glory to anything or my praise to an idol.
Amen.
God says, that's it, you know. I'm the one. In Isaiah 43, 6 and 7, I'll send orders to the north and south. Well, this is about us. So I'm going to take a giant step back in. God is the one that gets the glory. And God says, I'm not going to share that with anybody. Does that mean that God has a fat head and wants all the glory? No. What God's saying is, I need you to realize and not get confused that I'm the provider. I'm the one that makes the sun come up. I'm the one that makes it rain. I provide everything. I created you. Don't get it messed up so that we don't turn to God or we set God aside. Okay, don't confuse us because it's too easy to get into that self-help thing. If I imagine it hard enough, it'll happen. Get a life. If it happens, God's going to make it happen. Okay, but we are important to God. We can't forget that either. So, got to get that balance in there. Okay? God's going to give you a dream, and people have had great and wonderful dreams. Done great and wonderful things for God. I mean, you look around at some of the churches in this world. I mean, they are powerful. David Young Yi Cho in Korea. One church, almost 1 million members.
Yeah.
And they have 1,000 deacons. Or board of directors. That'd make you suicidal. You know? But they have 1 million members. One time they met all at the same time. They rented and reserved this big square over there that was like 1 mile long and 1/2 mile wide.
Amazing.
And they put huge speakers all over the place and all this. And they, one time, one of their anniversaries, they met together. But David knows that it's God, it's not him.
Amen.
God planted a dream in him. He wasn't even a believer, he was Buddhist, dying of tuberculosis. And he came to the Lord and was healed and called to ministry. And he didn't know what to do. And so he went out and he bought an army tent. And he set it up and he started preaching every Sunday. To his family. And a couple of other people joined. And one day the Lord told him, I need you to start speaking to 100 people. Now, this will hold almost 100. And so if I'm sitting here and I want Rob and Chris and Mark to hear me and I don't have my little magic microphone here, I have to talk pretty loud. So he's down there and he's going, I want you to know, brothers and sisters. And his family going, why are you yelling? Because I was told to speak to 100. And before he knew it, there were 100 there.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then God told him, now you start speaking to 1,000. And then there were 1,000. If you go to a worship service in his church today, you'll go down there and there's, you've been to Disneyland? You know those little pipes they have that put you in line and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait? Well, that's what it is. You go get in the little line and the building's here, and when the service is over, the doors open on the other side, and the people leave, and this side opens, and you come in and sit down, 50,000 at a time.
Wow.
Can you imagine 50,000 people at a worship service?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah. Go down there and just fill that, well, I can say Delta Center, but it's some Energy Solutions place. Yeah, it'd be cool. If it's God's will, that's what will happen.
Yeah.
But we are important. So we can't lose sight of that. That's why God sends us. Because we're supposed to cover this earth with the image of God. But in this fallen world, we're not walking in that image, are we? I know I don't all the time. I'm dragging my feet in the mud. But in Isaiah 43, 6 and 7, it says, God speaking, he says, I'll send orders north and south. Send them back. Return my sons from the distant land, my daughters from the faraway places. I want them back. Every last one who bears my name, every man, woman, and child whom I created for my glory. Yes, personally formed and made each one. Personally formed and made each one. Doesn't the scripture say, I knew you in the womb? Or you knew me in the womb? And so God has a dream. We're in that dream. We're in that dream. In Acts 2, 17 through 21, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Thank you, Father.
God's got a plan. God's got dreams. What dreams do you have? And you know what? It may not be to be a missionary or anything like that. I was down at the Crystal Cathedral, and Bob Schiller was talking about a guy in his congregation. And he had a dream. He wanted to give away $1 million. Didn't have $1 million, but he wanted to give it away. So he started working on his dream, giving away money here and there, and pretty soon he'd given away $1 million. But his dream changed, and he wanted to give away $1 million all at once. So he worked, and pretty soon gave away $1 million all at once. And then it was $50 million. And he gave away millions here and there and everywhere. Pretty soon he'd given away $50 million. And he wanted to give it away all at once. Benefiting other people. It happened. It happened. So we have to look at our lives and say, okay, I'm important in God's life, but so is the person next to you. So is the person across the street. So are those people out in Tooele and Magna. Provo, faraway lands, Orem, okay, West Valley, yeah. Those people are all important, but so are the people in other countries.
Amen.
And God gives us dreams. Some people get those dreams and they're the ones that are goers. And some of us are suppliers. But we get those dreams that God gives you. And you have to be aware, like Jacob did in the land, you have to be aware that God's there with you.
Amen.
And get in tune with that. Do I have a dream for this church? Yeah.
Yes.
I do. How is that dream expressed? That's why I went and got one of these bulletins here. If you'll get out your little bulletin there. Over the years, as I've gone to different churches and collected different stuff, I kind of come across different things. Okay, now we have our mission statement. We believe that when you grow a great, when you keep the great command and the great commission, you grow a great church. So what's the great command? Love God. Love a neighbor as yourself. What's the next one? To make disciples of all nations, tribes. Of all tribes. Okay? The Navajos, the Arapahos, the Homos. All of them. Okay? They're the tribes. Okay? And then there's different little statements that we say. Sacred Light of Christ Church exists to celebrate, as care, C-A-R-E, celebrate God's love through joyous worship. That's where you are today. Joyous worship.
Amen.
Joyous Amen. Worship. Not a funeral. Joyous worship. Okay? Announce Christ's love to all. To all. Respond with love and support. With love and support. And where do you see that? When Kelly stands up and says, hey, Sean needs help. Too late. Okay? But the heart's there. The heart's there. Okay? Empower all people to develop an enduring personal relationship with God. That's what this is about. Amen. Developing that enduring, one that lasts relationship with God. So that you're, when I talked about the seed scattered and you're not falling in the shallow dirt and you have one that lasts and hangs on through the hard times and the good times. Okay? Then at the bottom it says, and make Sacred Light of Christ the most spiritually empowering church in the area.
Thank you, Lord.
How about on earth?
Is that how, yeah, well, okay, that'll work too. Okay? But see, it's not fat-headed because the goal is for us to become empowering. That means that we come along and we help Susan become empowered to live a life beyond what she's living now.
Amen.
Now, is that to say Susan has a bad life? No. But you know what? Sometimes there's going to be people who walk in here and they haven't a clue of how much God cares. They haven't a clue about anything. And part of our responsibility is to help them develop that relationship that empowers them to walk in the fullness of God's love.
Amen.
Okay? So that's part of what I've come up with. Now, also in there, you notice there's a little insert like this. Okay? And it says, Sacred Light of Christ Community Church's goal is to bring people to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the way we're saved, isn't it? Okay? And membership in his family. Who's his family?
We are.
But what if I'm down in California and I go to Saddleback Church? Still in the family. Okay? Go to the Crystal Cathedral. I'm still in the family. Go down to Temple Square. Still in the family. Okay? Cathedral of the Madeleine. Yeah. You know? Membership in his family. Develop them to Christ-like maturity. Okay? Christ-like maturity. Develop them. To fight Christ, that we're having a class 201 today. How do we do? What are the habits we use to develop to get, become more like Christ, and equip them for ministry? Equip. I don't want to be equipped for ministry. Then I have to do something, right?
Amen.
You do spiritual gift surveys. You find out what this. You know what? If you're a believer, you have at least one. Or more spiritual gifts.
Probably more.
No. And you could have several. But one of the things we do is we try and help you find out what your spiritual gifts are. I can tell you right now, one of mine is not singing. I have my moments. Huh?
But it's dancing.
But it's, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I love to dance. When I was back in Washington, D.C., I was dancing at the hospital one time, and this African-American guy that I worked with, he says, You part black? Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, help equip them for ministry. Find out what your spiritual gifts are. And then use them. Ministry in the church. Okay, now, who's the church?
We are.
Okay? The body. In the church. Okay? And their life's mission in the world. That's when you go out from this little congregation into another part. A year and a half ago, Kay, Karina, and I and Bevan went to Taiwan. Had a great time. A lot of fun. Wonderful people. Fascinating place to be. Because Korea is not a tourist area. It's not some place you go. I mean, do you ever think of vacationing in Taiwan. Do you ever think of going on vacation to Taiwan? No. Tahiti, you know, the Philippines, you know, Hawaii, something like that. But, you don't think of Taiwan. And so when we went to the southern part, the northern part is where Taipei, the airport, is. And they see more Caucasians. But when you go to the southern part down there, they don't see very many Caucasians at all. And people would look at us. And yeah, I was there one time and somebody came up and this young couple comes up and this girl comes up and she goes, "Can I have my picture taken with you?" Okay. So she stands here with me and her boyfriend's taking the picture. And it's like, okay. You know, we were an oddball. But you go out into the world and you do things. Where's Al right now?
South America.
Ecuador. Part of his dream was to go. And he says, the mission's not 10 days or whatever we did. He said, it's a life.
Amen.
So he worked on it for a couple of years. Now he's living in Ecuador.
Thank you, Lord.
Doing the work. Now, you guys keep in touch with him a bit, don't you?
Yeah.
Is he doing good?
Yeah.
He's doing great.
Yeah. Loving it, too. But there's times when you go, oh, what am I doing here?
They may have a line on a building for free.
Good. See, they may have a line on a building for free.
Jesus.
Mother Teresa wanted to go off and serve. She was in, what, India?
Yeah.
And they said, you can't go to India. For one, you're a woman, and you don't have any money. She says, I got 2 cents in God. What more do I need? And off she went. But did we ever hear anything about her? Yeah. No, just a little. Okay. Your life's mission in the world. Because we all want to achieve something, don't we? But maybe we're not going to go there. Maybe I'll never go anywhere. But maybe I'll help Kay and Karina go. Or somebody else. Or maybe I'll be down at the HYRC, the Homeless Youth Resource Center.
Amen.
There's places right around here we can go and serve.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lots of places. Crossroads Center. Urban Crossroads.
And maybe one of those kids that you teach will end up going to Taiwan.
Yeah. You know? I thought about it, and somebody pointed out one time, they said, what would it be like 1,000 years from now? You're up in heaven sitting there. Somebody who just died comes up to heaven and they go, Susan, I want to thank you. And you go,
For what?
Because you helped keep that little church in Salt Lake City going. And I walked in there and I found Christ there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I want to thank you for doing that. And this is 1,000. You know, you've never met him. And maybe they've already been here 5 years ago, and they're off somewhere else. But that day comes when you bump into each other up there, and they go, oh, I remember you. Me? Yeah, I attended church there once, and you were the greeter at the door, and you gave me, and you welcomed me, and you just made me feel so warm and friendly. And that changed my life. One of the pastors at Saddleback tells a story about his wife one time was walking down the aisle She just, I kept walking. And they got a card from that woman. And she says, you'll never know how much it meant for Brad's wife. I don't remember her name. That's why I'm using his wife. That day. Because I was having surgery the next day and I was just feeling alone. And just that simple touch on my shoulder made me, let me know things were going to be all right. And Rick says, I want to go in full-time hugging ministry.
Amen.
Jay would like to do that. You know? And he says, sometimes that hug and that touch is all the affection some people get all week. That's all they get. That's part of my dream for us. That we reach out and touch someone.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not AT&T. Okay? Because you never know how that's going to happen. Okay? In order to magnify God's name. In order to magnify, to bring honor and glory to God. And bring honor and glory. Our mission. The life and ministry of Jesus Christ is our model for Christian care, compassion, and community. 2, as Christians, we are all gifted for and called to ministry. 3, as disciples of Jesus, we are called and responsible for sharing the good news of God's love for all people. 4, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are responsible for generously contributing to the financial health and well-being of a church.
Thank you, Lord.
I see these different places. Bringing people closer to God and each other. Or each other and God. Our task force has been putting together a little thing. We have a circle. It's a circle, square, circle, square, circle, square. And it's outreach and it goes around the circle. And exactly the same things. Worship, membership, ministry, defining your mission, ministry, and defining your mission, going back out into the outreach. And so we're going to be starting teaching classes on that. Do I have a dream for this church? Yeah, 900.
Yeah.
You better move the walls a little bit. Okay? Now, is that possible? Of course it is.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
Are there that many people in our community?
Yeah.
Just go down to any Pride Day. You'll see 20,000 of them down there. Yeah? So, yeah. 900. Need a bigger building.
Thank you, Lord.
Need a bigger computer system.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll have to put Chris on full time just to keep the computers going.
Amen, Lord.
Okay? Full time using ministry, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go for it all. Yep, the 900 Club, yeah. Then we'll become elite. We 900 no more. Yeah, right, uh-huh. But you know what? That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Amen.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. Because you know what? If we get to the point where we have 900, do you know how many hundreds will have gone away to other places? And church has been started and congregations be growing.
Amen, Jesus.
Back at Willow Creek, Bill Heibel's back there. They have 20,000, 30,000 in their membership. But they go out into the world and they've started over 600 different congregations.
Thank you, Lord.
They have over almost by now 2,000 people in their association. Yeah. And it started just with one guy. Mm-hmm. EMI is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crystal Cathedral, I used to go to leadership things down there. Bill Heibels from Willow Creek. He went to Crystal Cathedral. Saw what Bob Schuller did. Said, God, if you can do that with him, can't you do something with me?
Amen.
Walt Callis did, Community Hope of Joy in Phoenix, Arizona, the same thing. David Young-Yi Cho, the guy I talked about, same thing. Bob Schuller had so many people come through that institute that have gone off and done amazing things. Because most of them said, if you can do that with him, can't you do it with me?
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yes. Nothing is impossible for God.
Amen.
And we don't dream big enough.
Amen.
We don't dream big enough. Not nearly big enough. Not nearly big enough. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that you are so much bigger than we are. And Lord, we think about the awesomeness of you. And we can't even fathom, Lord, what you're like. Because you take care of everything, you run everything. But yet, you created each one of us specifically as we are. Because none of us are alike. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I just ask you in these coming weeks and years to help us step beyond our limitations into this world that you created so that we can go out and we can magnify you and we can bring honor and glory to you and that we can grow closer to you each day and that your image can completely engulf this world.
Thank you,
Lord. We're people in love with you. Help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.